The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Welcome to Heel Heat, the podcast where we go back to yesteryear and give y'all our thoughts and commentary in color. I am Dwayne, aka the Libra Icon. I am with my co-host Sean, Shaolin Shogun MA.
What's going on?
Jackson McCoy. I'm doing well. How you doing, man?
Doing good, bro, man. Ready to get into this shit fest known as WCW Thunder.
Oh my god. Ugh, gross. First off, Heel Heat Podcast wants to send our condolences to all the victims in the helicopter crash that happened this past Sunday. Definitely want to start by acknowledging the Altobello family, Kobe and Gianna Bryant, and the other victims in the crash. So definitely want to get that out there first. We are joined also in this podcast and this shit fest of WCW Thunder with our good friend Benny Oigo Las Voces on Twitter. Benny, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Just trying to navigate this Super Bowl traffic.
Oof. Prayers.
That's
about prayers getting through WCW Thunder, man. Yeah, forgot to see down in your town.
Super Bowl weekend and Mania. Dang, y'all got a lot going on down there.
Well, Mania's in Tampa, so you know. I mean, it's about 3.5 hours away.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yo, Benny, gotcha. Did you say you were going to Mania?
I am not. My current dissatisfaction.
I feel you. We have discussed that a little bit.
Right.
You know, if the takeover card is good enough, I might just drive up on Saturday and then come back Sunday and watch Mania on TV here. Mm-hmm. So that's a possibility. And if this rumored title match goes down, I might have to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean, we need to make a takeover trip, man.
Dude, that's the only thing that I'm missing, man. I got to check that box on takeover.
You've never been to a takeover?
Never been to a takeover. Like, I think, when was the first year they started doing takeovers WrestleMania weekend? Was it 31 or 32?
I think it was 32.
32? Well, yeah, our last Mania was 30. Right. So we haven't been in a while.
Okay, I haven't gone to a Mania takeover, but I have gone to a takeover.
Yeah, and thing about it, I don't think we haven't had any takeovers in close proximity to us.
Right, it hasn't been one in Charlotte or in Nashville.
Like, if you go to Atlanta or something like that, you know, I'll drive down for a takeover.
That's 3 hours from either city, so we know.
We went to our first WrestleMania in Atlanta, and I for damn sure know that a takeover can be better than that WrestleMania.
Oh, God. Don't get me started. Well, we got to go back. Oh, we got so much shit to go back on. All right. Yes.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump into this. Today, we're going to do our first watch-along episode. We are going back to 1998, June 4th. So, fire up your WWE Network. No shilling here, but that's where we got to view it.
yep, because we try to stay legal right here.
Right.
Ain't that the truth? The episodes aren't numbered.
I don't get arrested for looking at goddamn WCW Thunder.
I promise. It's a mental institution rather than an actual jail.
There you right. go. So go on to June the 4th, 1998, and we will give you a countdown. Dwayne, Benny, are y'all ready?
Yep.
I will say 3, 2, 1, and we'll hit play. So 3, 2, 1, play. Fitting that we are opening up with Sting, which inspired that Benny asked before we started recording, why this episode? And to tell you the truth, I don't watch much WCW Thunder. This is the first time I've ever rewatched an episode of WCW Thunder. If you listen to Eric Bischoff, his podcast, you know that nobody was a big fan of doing WCW Thunder. Watching it, we all could see it was second rate at best.
It was a D show.
But there are a few episodes that I do remember, not for good reasons. I do remember the Thunder episode that David Arquette won the WCW title. And I do remember that WCW Thunder was the first time that we saw Sting in the NWO Wolfpack. So that is the reason why I chose today's episode of WCW Thunder. We're watching the entrance to WCW Thunder, and now we are live. Were they doing Thunder live at this point?
Peoria, they were.
They were. There we go. I know I was reading, I did a little research around this time in 1998, and they were already talking about not doing Thunder live every week and kind of going into the taping schedule that Raw had before it went live every week, doing it live 1 week and then tape the next week. So I don't know. Really didn't matter. It was going to be WCW Thunder anyway. It was going to be Switch Time. What y'all think about this setup for Thunder, though?
Generic. I mean, the pyro was exciting.
Dude, the tone of your voice is like so.
I mean, and then I got to hear Tony Schiavone. Like,
hey, man, but hey, there goes my man Lee Marshall.
Who cares about Lee Marshall?
Come on, Benny, help me out here, bro. Come on, Benny, help me out here, bro. Lee Marshall?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I got a side with Dwayne on me.
Which
one, Tony, though? So, you know what I'm saying? I'm there in the middle.
Come on, man. Wasn't Lee Marshall, man, that's Tony the Tiger, ain't he?
You're right.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, bro, you got to convert on that one, though.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, look, I am
serial memories.
I am not trying to shill out that Lee Marshall was even average at wrestling commentary. But come on, man, Tony the Tiger.
They're great.
There you go. See, pulling you back in. Okay, so we're seeing a recap. Recap here of the previous week's Chris Benoit, Booker T. So, in looking at this, we're in the thick of their best of seven series.
Yep. That's where the Foley got the whole. That's where they did the whole best of seven with Sheamus and Cesaro. Now it's all coming back.
Yeah. And even they did it best of series before that. It was Sheamus and Cesaro did one. Didn't Booker T and John Cena do one? I don't think that was best of seven. I think it was best of five for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
And I want to say Chris Benoit did a best of seven in WWE. But yeah, WWE tried to go back to that well a couple times, even though they claim not to want to do anything that's associated with WCW.
Yeah. They got that. Yeah, well,
now they own it.
They got the shitty version of Starcade.
Yeah, no comment.
So, this generic video that they had in showing everybody with the... I guess that's supposed to be a cyclone?
Dude, I don't know what the hell that was supposed to be.
Whirlies! Like the... Wait, let me stop. Oh, gosh. Where is my tequila?
Like, even from, like, the look of Thunder, like... It looks like they took some leftover parts from some Turner made from TV movies and put together this set.
Like, you know what? Maybe Thunder in Paradise.
Oh, bro. Oh, man. God, man. Chris Benoit.
Jeez.
I'm not gonna lie. This is the first time that I have seen anything with Chris Benoit since
that
tragedy, incident, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not entirely comfortable.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why necessarily, yeah. But it just feels weird.
No, I get it. I get it. You know what I mean? It is weird. Like, so I've watched many of WCW matches. Matter of fact, before we started recording, I was watching the Raw episode right after No Way Out 2001. And Benoit and Eddie Guerrero had a match on that show against X-Pac and Just Incredible. Ooh, X-Factor.
Great. Oh, wow.
It never goes away, man. Like, there's no way to completely detach from that.
And you remember, Sean, we were at Benoit's last match.
Yes. Yes. We were at Chris Benoit's last appearance on camera.
Because it was him and Morrison.
Yeah, him and John Morrison were supposed to meet that Sunday
in Houston for the ECW title.
Yep.
Goodness. I mean, y'all were at Warriors last
time on
TV too?
Yeah.
Well, we all were.
Yeah. That was eerie.
Difference is, I think me and Dwayne and Benny, I don't want to speak for you, but I walked away from that Raw that night and I was like, "Whoa, brother, rough."
It was very cryptic, very cryptic, and I remember because we left. We left straight from New Orleans that night, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember driving because I just got out of Atlanta when that news came out, and don't know how I made it to Charlotte at that point, but I think after that point, I really don't remember anything because I was just like, dang. After I kind of, when I got back home that a few hours later, I kind of sat back and kind of, you go through the whole process of everything. And yeah, I think everything was just aligned at that point. He mended those fences and he did what he had to do so he could get called home.
Yeah, so I'm not going to lie. I was actually at the club, so I didn't have time to really think about all of that because not only, was there that Raw after Mania, but at the same time, my team was winning their fourth national title.
Right.
So after that, I'm just like in full party mode, and it didn't hit me until I got back to Tallahassee the next afternoon, and a lot of things hit me when I got back to Tallahassee that next afternoon.
I bet.
Which
is why I wasn't able to teach my class that night.
I bet. So being not entirely comfortable or have been comfortable watching Chris Benoit matches since the tragedy, how is it? I mean, what's going through your mind right now seeing Booker T and Chris Benoit in this match, man? Good opening match. If you're going to open up a card, Thunder, Nitro, Saturday Night, pay-per-view, whatever, in 1998, can't get any better, in my opinion.
I guess, now that, it's been a few minutes and we're talking about it, like, honestly, the thought that's in my mind right now watching this match is seeing this fool Mark Curtis, who had the worst facial reactions that I have ever seen.
Man, I used to watch Mark Curtis in the ring, and I was just like, man, poor man. He probably is the sweetest guy in the world, but he's just all over the place. Rest in peace to him. We lost him way, way too early. But yeah. Stevie Ray, suckers gotta know.
All white.
Where were y'all with Booker T at this moment? Can you remember back in 98 where you are? What were your thoughts on Booker T in 98?
My thoughts? I thought he was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you see him going?
I didn't think he would be. I knew he would at least get a chance at the title. I didn't think
world title.
Yeah, because this is where this is like the only promotion at the time where a black man could have been a world champ.
Not named The Rock.
Right, mm-hmm. And I mean one of us, like a nigga. So, I thought that he had the charisma, he had the opportunity, and when he did get that opportunity, it was really good to see. So I really think at this point, it was really good seeing that momentum that he was starting to establish at this point.
I was a huge Booker T fan. But the way WCW was stacked at the time, I just thought he would be stuck in that WCW US title, TV title realm. And then, I didn't think there was any chance that he could go to WWF. I didn't think they would use him properly. So, unfortunately, but the thing about it, it took some moving parts to actually get him there. I think eventually the cream would have rose to the top. But if WCW did things right, I think Booker T should have been a main event player before he eventually was.
Yeah. I will say, though, much later when he did get in WWE, that King Booker was gold.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nothing beats Booker. So here we got Paul White, also known as the Giant, also known as the Big Show, coming out with the World Tag Team Championships.
Both. I did like those belts, though.
Oh, dude. I love this version of the tag belts.
Well, this is certainly better than those Michigan State Championship belts that we seem to be seeing currently.
I miss the original world. Now the original belts that had the world tag team lineage on it. So, like the original tag team titles.
So we didn't hear it here, but he starts off this promo by saying, "Hey yo."
Right.
Yeah, so my feed messed up a little bit, so it's coming up now. There it is.
So I believe at this moment, Big Show, I'm not going to call him Giant. Big Show and Sting were the tag team champions, and with Sting joining the Wolfpack,
mm-hmm.
Show kept both of the titles and then picked his new tag team partner. How the hell can you do that?
I was about to say, that's not possible. You can't do that.
What in the WCW is this shit?
I mean, that's not exactly alone in the, you know, pantheon of questionable WCW
decisions. Oh, no.
Right. They've got a lot of company.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things on a long list. It's like, my tag team partner is not in my group anymore, so he's no longer a champion with me.
I wonder if Chris Jericho made a list of 1,004 things that WCW messed up.
See, that would be a list that he wouldn't have to repeat a mistake on, because we know the holds list, you know, he says arm bar about 900 times. With a mistake, a WCW mistake list, I feel like he can get a solid 1,004. Mm-hmm. Hell, there's a bunch that with the Big Show. Dwayne knows my favorite. Hell, the Big Show shouldn't even be standing here right now. He's dead. They killed him in Halloween Havoc.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Show goes from being tag team champion with Sting. Yes, Sting. To dumping him for Bryan Adams. Bryan fucking Adams.
What a crush. Oh.
So you go from the cream of the crop to
who? Crush. Can I tell y'all the only time, and you know, I don't like to speak ill of the dead, so sorry. The only time that I liked Crush, y'all got to give me a moment to explain this.
Oh boy.
The only time that I liked Crush is when he was in the Nation of Domination.
You know, I was watching past Rumbles on Sunday. I think it was I got to the 97 Rumble because that was when I heard about Kobe. And Crush was walking out with the Nation, so I actually do remember that.
So, and really, the reason why I liked him in the Nation is because in the Nation, he never did what he just did there. Talked. He did nothing. And I think that's the perfect role for Crush, to do nothing.
Another bad decision by WCW. Letting this man talk.
Because even when later in 2000 and 2001, when Bryan Adams came back with Brian Clark and they were Chronic was decent when they were just fighting folks. But once they started talking, we know Brian Clark can't talk. It messed up the whole thing. Then they went to WWE, got their ass whooped by Undertaker and Kane, and that was it.
That was a good symbolism of burying WCW talent like that. Just throw them in the dumpster.
I miss WCW Saturday Night, man. Like, this whole setup, man, the mechanical
thing. Out of the old 605. TV.
Yes, man. 605 on Saturday night. Turn it on WCW Saturday night, man. I missed that.
On TBS.
Okay, two things. Number one, watch NWA Power.
Oh, I do.
Two.
I do.
WCW was really running 7 hours of weekly TV.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
7 hours.
Seven.
We complain now about WWE having too much.
And that's the thing about it is...
across three brands.
That's why I don't get into it with people who talk about that. It's like, if we add up all the content that was out there during the Monday Night Wars, it's really no different than what we see right now.
Right.
And you talk about 7 hours of content. There was a brief moment there where you had a 3 hour Nitro, 2 hours worth of Thunder, and then sometime Saturday night was 3 hours. But then, I don't know if y'all remember this, WCW also had Pro.
Yep.
And then there was another show as well. I think it was Main Event or something like that.
Yeah, Ascot? Behind Van Hammer?
Yeah. Oh. There goes the dude. So, forgive me, Mr. Van Hammer, in the news this week. God, who the hell booked this shit? Reese versus Van Hammer? My God. So Van Hammer was in the news because he got a DUI for hitting a kid. That's terrible, man.
He's gonna fry.
So this dude go from killing crowds to killing kids. Terrible. What the hell is he doing?
He should be ashamed.
What did Reese do before this? Do y'all remember? I gotta look him up.
Nope.
Give me a second.
It's kind of funny that Van Hammer did the Scott Hall for about 5 seconds, you know, doing the mimicking of the bigger guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Reese is only 50 years old. Y'all hear me?
Yep.
50 years old. That mean that dude is what? How long ago? This was 22 years ago?
Right.
21, 20? This is like 31, 32. That's crazy.
Ugh.
So, before he was Reese, he was the Yeti.
Use a coffee cup?
No, dude. You don't remember the Yeti?
I'm sorry. I got back in wrestling in 97 over that summer. So
Oh, man. You gotta look up the Yeti. You got to. Like, I wasn't watching wrestling when the Yeti was out either, but that's just something I caught. So, back in 94, 95, time, place with me, Hulk Hogan was in this feud with Dungeon of Doom, and you know Kevin Sullivan is just out of his mind.
Yeah.
And the Dungeon of Doom, it was just full of random ass characters. And one night, I think it was on Nitro, at the end, this big creature comes up, comes out, excuse me, and it's literally a 7-foot mummy. Like, he is from head to toe wrapped in what looks like tissue paper, looking like a mummy, and they call him the Yeti. Well, that's how Tony Schiavone pronounced it. And he gets in the ring and does this terrible bear hug on Hulk Hogan that when you look at it, it looks like he's butt fucking him. Like, it's really terrible. Like, please, to Benny, to anybody who's listening to this episode, if you have not seen the Yeti and you want to laugh, this is like Shockmaster level WCW comedy. How dare you mess with the great Juventud Guerrero?
Disrespectful. Could have did La Parka or something. I mean, I'm not here for a man with, who's dressed like an exoskeleton.
Yes. I've been waiting for this. Yes.
Oh, yes.
We are here.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is another reason why I don't watch this.
The great Alex Wright. Das Wonder Kid.
Oh, my God.
You will respect the name of Alex Wright.
I will not. We have gone through this for years over this.
And don't be no Kevin. Oh, come on, man. They didn't hit the dance in the ring. That was like a Kevin Dunn thing.
Absolutely.
What in the hell is wrong with Eddie?
Okay, so let me get this straight. We have a match here with an international legend who influences many wrestlers to this day, and Eddie Guerrero.
But dude, I was hoping you were going there. I was like, I know he's talking about Alex Wright. Once you said international legend, I knew you were talking about Alex Wright. Respect. I just want to know why Eddie Guerrero was walking to the ring like a woman. I don't remember that part. God, man, WCW missed the boat on so many people. Like, how do you have Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, all these names in your mid-card? Get them national exposure and just let them leave.
And the strange thing is, it would have saved them money. These guys.
God, yes,
it would. That they ended up needing to stay in business.
You could have kept guys like Jericho, Benoit, Guerrero. You lose them, and you ended up having to bring back folks like Sid, Warrior, like just going in that well, or just at the end of WCW, they were just yanking folks from the power plant to fill space.
Terrible.
I like to say most of the folks that you saw on Nitro and Thunder towards the end of WCW in 2000 and 2001 are the folks today that are doing the Florida circuit in NXT. You know what I mean? That's the level that they're at.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Did we just have a DQ because
yes, AI
got flipped over the top rope?
Yes. And that rule doesn't even exist.
Yeah, there's a show that's on right now in which there would be no way that that could ever be a DQ.
Mm-hmm. Check out that shirt that Chavo got.
Oh, hell.
There you go.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Get it. Cool.
Bruh, come on.
No, I will never, never be here for this man.
They missed the boat on Alex Wright, man. They missed the boat.
That was the one thing they got right, not pushing him.
The great Tony Schiavone.
Ain't nothing great about Tony Schiavone.
Man, come on. What's up with all this hate on Tony Schiavone, man? Come on, man. Put your beef out there. What's up with Tony, man?
He annoys me.
Tony's great.
I don't know what's going on with that mullet, though.
Yeah, man, that's terrible.
That's terrible. Yeah, that's one thing right there.
That's terrible.
Oh, God, a brave shirt. Ew.
Hey, chill out, bro. We ain't doing that. You know, we trying to talk about wrestling here. Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Oh, Lord. This roided up fool.
Well, as much as Sean and I talk about crowd noise being piped in for Roman Reigns, this crowd noise wasn't piped in for this.
Oh, no.
No. I will say, the NWO Wolfpack theme song was ill, though.
Dude, so I saw something, and I tweeted this out earlier in the week. Like, if the NWO came out to Wolfpack music during WrestleMania weekend, do you realize in WWE we would have heard Silk the Shocker and C Murder on WWE TV in 2020?
Listen, when I heard Silk the Shocker, that was going to be my hot take. I thought I'd never hear Silk the Shocker in 2020. Lo and behold, last night.
Here comes MVP. We got Silk the Shocker. I'm like, yo, I tweeted Kevin Nash that night. And I was like, dude, you got to tell him to hit that Wolfpack music. I'm already in my No Limit mood, too. Let's get C Murder some royalties so we can put some on his books.
Right.
So I don't know when we're going to talk about him again. So let me ask you both, not just in this space in 1998, what were your feelings about Lex Luger, period? Like from the first time that you saw him perform, what do you think about him today?
So, I do remember him in the patriotic theme that he had going on in the early 90s. And then when I moved to Japan, this is the start of where I have my long hiatus from wrestling. So mm-hmm. I really didn't get much into, I never really was into Lex Luger. I just thought that I saw, you know, all the muscles and everything. Of course, I didn't know about steroids at the time. I just saw the muscle. I just thought he looked like he looked rubbery. So I just never was here for it. And then when when he came back, when I got back into it, I actually really didn't get back. This was actually before I actually fully got invested into the sick again, because I got fully invested into wrestling when it was that breakdown in your house. So back to Luger, though, to answer that question, for me, when I got back into it, I still saw that he was still rubbery. Just older, and now that rubber is turning into flab, and I don't know if he's incapacitated or what.
So basically, Dwayne thought Lex Luger was the rubber man.
Right. Right.
What about you, Benny? What were your thoughts on Luger?
I never really had a strong opinion of Lex Luger either way. I did think the narcissist gimmick was kind of funny. But other than that, you know, he was just Lex Luger. Like, I was in a wrestling hiatus when the whole Lex Express thing came about.
Mm-hmm.
I did find it cartoonishly funny looking back that, you know, they had him slam Yokozuna on an aircraft carrier on the 4th of July. It's like, really? But other than that, I mean, I really didn't have an opinion of him. I mean, I do think that he had a little bit more of a contribution to the demise of Elizabeth than has been let on. So that's soured me on him somewhat. But other than that, I mean, he's just Luger.
I think you kind of summed up my feelings towards Lex Luger. I've kind of always said, yeah, it's just Lex. So my first memories of Lex were actually as a little kid, you know, watching Saturday Night, seeing him with the Horsemen. I think one of the War Games that he was in with the Horsemen was my first memory of him. I think, and to just kind of put it out there, like, these are just, you know how you can remember pieces, like when you were really, really young?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a piece. I remember him in, you know, that early. But when I started paying attention, it was probably 90, 91, right around the time Ric Flair left WCW, and then they really pushed him to the top. Like, I like Luger at his best when he was a heel and he had a manager and he didn't talk. Lex Luger was always ruined for me when he started talking.
As like a lot of people.
Like, just to steal a line from Conrad Thompson, it's like, what's your favorite Lex Luger promo? Like, you don't remember it. Like, because talking wasn't his thing. Wrestling really wasn't his thing either. I don't really have a favorite Lex Luger match. I think my favorite, if I had to pick one, it would be the time that he won the title from Hogan. And it really wasn't because of the match. It was the moment. But yeah, I've just been, I was on hiatus watching wrestling when he was with the WWF. So I missed the narcissist. I missed Lex Express. But then when I caught up on it, I felt like Benny did. Like, I was like, why was people so hyped about him doing this Yokozuna thing? This looks stupid. And Yoko jumped into the he jumped into the slab anyway.
So because those boys were wearing off.
You know what I mean? So yeah, man, I'm always curious to see what people think about Lex. I mean, he's,
hey, Fit Finley.
One thing I will say about Lex, though, Lex was in my favorite tag team match of all time.
Which one was that?
It was the first Super Brawl. him and Sting against the Steiners.
Yo, as soon as you signed the Super
Bowl. I love that
match. That was a great match. That was a great match.
So, yeah, props to Black on that.
50? The world television title. Can we turn the 24/7 into a television title?
Dude.
Isn't that basically what it is?
Nah, because we would not disrespect the television title by calling that what it is. So for our listeners who don't know, I have started blogging on Pro Sports Extra. Got about 6 articles out there now. My second article was a piece on actually creating a WWE television championship. I do not know why WWE hasn't. Well, yes, I do, because they claim they don't want to take stuff from WCW, but hell, you can watch Raw, SmackDown,
the US title NXT.
The US title is there. The Cruiserweight title is there.
Shoot, the booking is there.
The damn booking. Oh my. It seems like every legend that they bring back is somebody from WCW.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? It's an easy thing to book. I don't know. I just think it's something that's something easy that can be done. Like a guy like Ricochet, who's not doing anything right now.
Pretty Ricky.
He could just be on the show having a 10 to 15 minute match every week. Or hell, when was the last time you saw Cedric Alexander on TV?
Ooh.
I mean, I don't count main event because I don't watch that shit.
Main event still comes on? Wow.
Yeah. Don't ask me when. I just know when I go on the network, sometimes I'll see main event under the recently added section. But Fit Finlay, I had never heard of Fit Finlay before until I saw him at WCW around 97.
Yeah.
For some reason, I instantly took to him. I was like, dude, this big British. He just looked like
Irish.
Irish, excuse me. He just looked like he liked to fuck. I'm for that.
And he's one of the best road agents in the game, too.
There you go. I mean, he had to do this to my man Psychosis, though. Hey. The one thing I will say about WCW, they may not have given the cruiserweights a shot at doing more like they should have, but at least they didn't put them on lawnmowers and make them ride them to the ring.
So disrespectful.
What's up for the cameraman getting the contiguous shots of the other two cameramen?
Horrible TV production. Horrible TV production.
I hadn't even gotten into journalism yet, and I don't think y'all would have made these things.
Yeah, that's about the only thing about Fit Finlay that I didn't like. Like, man, you look like you about 2 inches taller than Rey Mysterio. The hell are you doing a Tombstone Piledriver for? God, that belt is pretty. I'll be honest with y'all. If I saw that on WWEShot.com, I might buy that.
Yeah.
Bobby DeBrain, Heenan looks like he does not want to be there.
He doesn't. I don't blame him.
He sounded like he didn't want to be there either.
He's sitting next to Tony Schiavone. I don't want to
be there. Dude, chill out, bro. Like, this is not always a hit at Tony Schiavone thing.
Why not?
Especially not when Mike Tenay is wearing that shirt that looks like a King
of AW. Yo, out of everybody that's popping up back in WWE or AEW, even in Impact and other spaces, like, man, maybe Mike Tenay is just happy not doing anything right now, but I don't know, man. I used to like him in certain spaces. I like how they used him in spots. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want Mike Tenay calling every match, but I liked him. I guess I liked him in cruiserweight matches because you could tell he was the only one that knew what the hell he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of how long it's been since Mike Tenay left Impact, because I know he was there for a minute.
Let's see.
Bet you won't see Kevin Nash wearing any red hats anymore, though.
No. Mike Tenay left Impact in 2016.
Oh, okay.
2016. Yep. Yeah, Kevin Nash is not wearing a red, not especially no red hat to look like that.
Did they take out the stitching that said NC State?
It looks like
it. It looks like it. Man, Rick Rude is just sitting there like,
why am I here?
Not even, well, hell, he asked to be there. He the one that quit right after the Montreal Screwjob, so.
Yeah.
Famous for being the only person who appeared on Raw and Nitro on the same night.
He got Dusty Rhodes standing next to Virgil.
Dude.
Irony.
Crazy. And the other thing that was in that shot, Bret Hart just standing there, just so out of place. Whoever dropped Sting down on this night just took all the awe out of it. That was a terrible drop.
By then, though, it really didn't matter.
You're right. So, I have this interesting theory. So, I feel like they ruined the Sting Crow character the second that his music started at Starrcade 97. So as stupid as Sting joining the NWO Wolfpack and all of a sudden doing everything that you see him doing now, hugging everybody, doing the woo, and all that, at this point, even in 1998, I was like, it don't really matter because they ruined him at Starrcade. Like, for him to be, oh hell, let me finish what I'm saying because I got to say something about this.
Lord have mercy.
I'm sorry. So, you know, him sitting up in the rafters coming down like that, as soon as they had him walking out like a normal guy,
what the fuck is this?
You don't remember Glacier?
You know, there's things you try to forget.
Oh, dude, you can block some stuff out, but we gonna always remember the Sub-Zero ripoff.
Yep, dollar store Sub-Zero. Yep.
The only thing that's missing is he gonna do the is he gonna do the flip and the snow not gonna he didn't have the snow right here anymore. Now this used to make me laugh right here when he used to take off the mask and do the little scream. Nothing about he didn't flip, he just rolled, didn't he? Roll.
Wow.
Oh hell yeah. I ain't never been so happy to see Saturn.
You're welcome.
I ain't never been so happy to see Saturn. Did he just do all that and just like, was he tired? Yeah, that doesn't look good. Well, guess what? You can say what you want about Tony Schiavone. At least he called that a German suplex. If it was Michael Cole, it'd have been, a throw.
Since you put it that way, I guess.
What a leap. What a leap.
What a maneuver.
Foot to the face. Just call it a kick, bitch. Okay, did I see what I see? Is Glacier supposedly a hill in this?
It seems like he's working heel.
That makes no sense. Well, all these Goldberg fans right here are telling him he sucks. Unpopular opinion. I feel like Lodi should have had a job in wrestling forever. Like Lodi was so annoying. Like you could just be a manager annoying people for life.
Wait a minute. Why is he the only person with a sign? Weren't signs still popular in 98?
Yeah. They were more popular on the other channel. Now, if you turn to a WWF show in 98, you seeing all the signs.
Yeah. You see the people.
And that too. They were saying he on the wrong show with signs.
He's on the right show because his stands out.
Well, I didn't look at it like that. You are right.
Here we go. A Mark Curtis ref bump.
And is he mocking him? Who is that? Canyon?
Of course it is.
Hey.
Canyon.
Who's Black better Mike. Than Canyon?
Everybody.
Nobody. Bruh.
Everybody.
Bruh. You better be joking. There you go. Ridiculous mortar shit.
DDT, and he literally wiped
And there you have it. Sub-Zero wins. They gave Sub-Zero the pin over Saturn.
Oh, we do have some.
No sense, because this went nowhere. There was no Glacier Canyon pairing. This is just so WCW. Somebody's playback is loud. I want to turn it down.
Was that me?
Might be.
My TV's on 4 out of 100, so.
That's probably me, because I got the phone right next to my other phone. Oh, wow. Rest in peace.
You know what? This is interesting. So I was looking at some of the notes that I had, and it said at the time that Lodi, who we just saw, was still out of action after breaking his ankle. So my man was out there doing all that with a messed up ankle. And Kurt Angle is out injured, and there's been consideration of having the NWO Wolfpack group turn on him and kick him out of the group. Kevin Nash in particular is pushing for it because he never wanted Henning in the group anyway. I ain't mad at that, because, yo, first of all, Kurt Henning didn't fit in the NWO, period.
Right.
Black and white, red.
Especially in the red and black. I didn't see it.
I mean, I think we all can agree that the more and more folks that they added into the NWO, the worse that it got.
Of course.
But I don't know. I've always kind of leaned on, I feel like they should have kept Kurt in the Horseman. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There was already enough people in the NWO that you didn't have to go from the Arn Anderson spot promo, which was real, putting him in the Horseman, and then like a week or so later having him turn.
Right.
Like, they just didn't need it. And this just looks weird.
Rowdy and rowdy rowdy.
Olale.
Arriba la raza.
So, question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger waste in WCW, Kurt Henning or Bret Hart?
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart.
I guess the argument I would make for Henning is that at least they did something with Bret Hart. After Kurt Henning almost killed Ric Flair in that War Games.
Thank you.
He did absolutely nothing. But man, when I saw the highlights of that match, and I saw it in black and white and everything, I'm not going to lie. Part of me thought that Flair was like in real trouble.
Oh, dude, that cage to the head did not look protected. Looked like he was jacked up for real.
Yeah.
So the reason why I said Bret Hart is because they had so much momentum they could have capitalized off of the Montreal Screwjob, and they threw it all away.
As they did with everything.
You know what I mean? Like, and I know eventually we'll do a whole episode on, hey, rest in peace to the great Silver King. But man, nigga, you got Bret Hart coming in and you stick him in a referee role and not even refereeing your main event. His first thing in WCW was refereeing Eric Bischoff versus Larry Zbyszko.
Main event.
And I don't know, man. And then they stuck him in the NWO. Like, for a while, he played this tweener role, going back and forth. You didn't know which way you were going to go. Like, Bret Hart just looked stupid standing beside Hulk Hogan looking like another NWO lackey. And the thing about it is, they wouldn't say that he was in the NWO. Like, even if you remember that earlier clip, everybody was out there standing with Hulk Hogan. Everybody, there was only two people that didn't have on NWO gear. Rick Rude in the corner with his suit, because that was his thing, and Bret Hart, who's just there as a Hulk Hogan loyal. I was just thinking, like, at this point in time when WWF was catching up, you know what I mean, this wasn't 83 weeks anymore. Like, you could have use Bret Hart to keep you afloat. You know what I mean? So many things that you could have did. Not to say that Kurt Hennig wouldn't have helped, but Kurt couldn't have helped on or at the magnitude that Bret.
Right.
You know, having those matches. You know what I mean? It's just, sometimes I like to say to myself that Bret Hart's career ended at Survivor Series. Because outside of that good match that he had, not good, great match that he had, that was a tribute match with Chris Benoit for Owen, that steel play angle that he did with Goldberg, and the El Dandy promo, Bret Hart didn't do shit else in WCW.
Well, well, well.
And look who is this.
Yeah. I think this is the last time that anybody's ever seen his abs.
Oh man, they were roasting Jericho online Sunday when Edge came out. Like, yo, how Edge been gone 9 years with a bad neck, come back at 46, look jacked. Yeah, Jericho's been out here active and he looks like how he looks. Like that, hey man. How you have to come for the painkiller like that.
Well,
they is more like it. Had some Jericho news around this time. There is some news that I want to hit y'all with right after this promo, though.
You can tell us now.
You said what?
You can tell us now.
Oh, it was, this was, well, the Jericho thing, this was right around the time that Jericho did that Washington, D.C. skit. Y'all remember that? Or have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
So you got to check that out. If you haven't seen it, Nitro was in D.C., and Chris Jericho, what he's doing right now with Dean Malenko and their whole feud, his gimmick is of he's a conspiracy theorist. Like, there's a conspiracy theory against him in WCW, and he's a victim. And when they were in DC, he was campaigning to talk to the president And he was he filmed a promo outside of the White House, and then he even went to a law library to try to find the WCW rule book. Like, you heard what I just said. He went to a law library in WCW in DC and tried to find the WCW rule book to prove the conspiracy theory against him. So, yo, if you have not seen that, look it up on YouTube or watch that WCW Nitro episode in 98 and just watch all those segments with Jericho, man. They are hilarious. So the news that I was talking about, and this ain't nobody but Disco Inferno, I think, coming up, so we can talk over him. Unless Dwayne likes Disco Inferno, like, disrespects the hell out of Alex Wright, so you can't like Disco Inferno.
I'm not here for him either. Okay. This fake stunner. And yeah, not here for him or Alex Wright. Ever.
Alright, so in the edition of the Wrestling Observer that came out in June 1st, so a couple days before this show, here it goes. Want y'all feedback on this. The Ultimate Warrior is expected to start in WCW soon. Gonna leave it at that. Shoot.
I mean, well, you know, actually, after seeing an instance of this on Sunday at the Royal Rumble, it's easy to see, and to be honest, I probably would have seen it then. The only reason that this is happening is that Hogan can get his win back. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That man is there to do one thing, and that's take what John Cena calls a 3 second tan to Hulk Hogan, and whatever else is just a bonus. But that's it. It's just an ego stroke for Hogan.
Dwayne, what say you, sir?
I got nothing. I'm being honest, I got nothing. Like, this is such a struggle, man. Like, I really have nothing. Maybe yeah, I'm drawing a blank at the moment. Ask me again in a couple minutes. Maybe I'll.
Jesus, dude. Did Disco Inferno do that to you?
Yes.
I mean, at least Raven's in the ring.
What about me?
What about Raven? Come on, man.
I mean, that's the only good thing about this match. Is...
My favorite Raven story was that Eric Bischoff story
of
the backstage meeting with everybody in the company, and Bischoff gave anybody who wanted to leave the opportunity to say, hey, you know, if you want to leave, if you want to be here, you can get up and go. And Raven literally was the only one that got up and quit. Like, you know what I mean? That is my favorite. You know, and I have, you know, it was extremely hard for me to take the character Raven seriously the first time I saw it. Because when I first saw him, I was like, ain't that Johnny Polo?
Right.
Johnny Polo, Johnny Flamingo. Like, dude, use the fluorescent dude just flying around being annoying in WCW, like, and now you're this, like, dark person? Mm-hmm. But it grew on me. But, yo, that was such a G move. But then Bischoff got him back. because he was smooth trying to leave to go to WWF, and he was like, no, buddy. If you quit, you can't compete in WWE for at least a year. He was like, fuck it. Went back to ECW.
Yeah, that was those long no-compete clauses.
The one thing that I did like about Raven when he got to WCW that was unique is that I liked that all his matches were Raven's rules. That he would just sit out in the crowd. Like, that mystique of him was good. And then they just kind of let that go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can add that to that list of 1,004. Yo, I wonder if we could get enough people together to actually make a Jericho list. 1,004 of 1,004 WCW mistakes. That would be some cool shit.
It would be interesting.
Wait a minute, Raven had a shirt?
Apparently so.
I wouldn't have bought that shit. That was ugly.
It was ugly.
God. Mouth of the South. The tag team of Hugh Morris and the Barbarian. When the Dungeon of Doom only had two people left. I think when the Dungeon of Doom only had two people left, then you should probably just leave the Dungeon of Doom alone.
Perhaps.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, dude, you know what this is.
The Rise.
Oh, the definite rise. This is your undefeated
WCW 34-0
United States Heavyweight Championship.
Oh God, this video board is so trash.
Like, what is the purpose of having a close-up on a video board with just text of somebody's name?
With the swirly in the back.
Like, makes no sense. Like, you know what? That's going to be my question. I'm going to submit that question for Ask Eric next week. Oh, 83 weeks. Goldberg looking like $1,000,000, bruh.
Well, this was 22 years ago when he was like 29. You know what I loved about this streak, though?
What was that?
How they just randomly put a number
after. Dude, the number got multiplied every week.
Who's counting?
He had a winning streak with interest.
Right.
It was like, yo, it's only so many shows that y'all do each week. Like, there's no way it could be 34 this Monday Nitro and then in the 40s next Monday Nitro. It's just, it can't be done. I remember Triple H was so adamant about like having the correct number for Asuka when she went on her streak.
Right.
But I will say, the longer this streak went, I was like, you know what? These are only three moves you can do.
Good.
But you know what? I'm good with it. You know, it's not like Andre the Giant was out there doing 24 moves every match.
Right. You see, though, you notice something, though?
What's that?
This show was dead till he came out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yep.
Like, even I was dead. And I came back to life when I started watching this.
So, it was something that we were talking about earlier when, I think it was when Lodi was out there and I was talking about the sign. You know what I mean? Y'all were saying that you didn't see any signs. But now you look at this shot now, what are you seeing? You're seeing pictures in the air, signs.
Right.
In the air. Like, people are actually standing up.
Yeah.
Like, and at no point in this show up until now that people were legit into the show.
And you see people getting up out of their seats on
the Yeah.
Right. Like, people I literally was falling asleep until this match came on. '95, '96. Did they just say 34?
Yeah. I mean, because at this point, you know what I mean? Like, even at this point, they were adding on, bro.
Yeah. And I did watch the Broken Skull sessions, and he even laughed at how it multiplied.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought that Broken Skull sessions with Goldberg was good.
Oh, there hasn't been one bad
Broken at all
show.
Like, Taker really, still was the best, hands
Taker's
down.
Taker was the best. I really enjoyed Kane.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Kane for raising the speed limit in Knoxville. I could probably go through that town. So I feel like I'm there for 5 days. Okay, I had to get that in. Okay.
I'm glad that WWE is finally acknowledging what we've known forever. And yes, we know that's Isaac Gecko. We know that's fake Diesel.
Right.
So, yes. Thank you for acknowledging it. What was up with the random pyro? So, they used to do that shit on Nitro all the time. It used to piss me off.
The mid-show pyro?
Yes. And it would be like in the middle of a match and it just pow, 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 pow. And I'm like, What the fuck are you doing?
Like, what is this for?
People in the ring. Like, I'm trying to watch an Arn Anderson match and y'all motherfuckers doing a damn light show.
You notice they don't put under Giant and Brian Adams, WCW tag team champs.
Mm-hmm.
Every champ they had on here, they put Dean Malenko, WCW Cruiserweight champ, Fit Finley, World Television champ, Goldberg, U.S. champ. Nothing for these two. Because they're not the actual champions.
Like, yo, man, you can't come to the ring and just say, bam, he ain't my partner no more. So I'm going to pick this new dude named Crush, Brian Adams. We the champions. All right. So the date of this show is June 4th, 1998. So 10 days from now, WCW would have
the Great American Bash.
Great American Bash. So a few things that happened at Great American Bash. We had the finals of, well, the last Chris Benoit Booker T match, which saw Booker T come back from 3-1 down.
He pulled the Cavaliers.
Oh, he did it before the Cavs. So the Cavs pulled a Booker T.
This is true.
You know what I mean? So we need to correct that when people talk about that.
Right.
The Cavs pulled a Booker T. We will respect the good name of King Booker up in here.
Oh, hey.
What I did not remember is that best of seven series was actually for the number one contendership for the television championship, which Booker T would win later that night. So did not remember that.
Yeah.
Booker T beat Chris Benoit in the first match. And then halfway into the card, he beat Finlay for the TV championship.
Okay,
I brought up Great American Bash because Sting and the Giant would actually have a match at American Bash, and whoever won
would get the tag titles.
Get the tag titles. Yeah. Which still is stupid.
Who won that match?
Sting.
So he and Luger became the tag.
No, it was Kevin Nash.
Yeah, it was Kevin Nash.
Did WWE just not pay for the rights to that Smells Like Teen Spirit thing? So they just had to go with this generic nonsense? Or did DDP actually change his...
No, they didn't pay for it. Well, it's not even that. It was, you know, it's all those, I like to call them parody songs. You know what I mean? Because that's definitely DDP's song is a ripoff of Nirvana. Like... You know, WCW is the ones that didn't pay to use that to sample those songs. So WWE didn't go back and pay to use it for the network and just came up with a generic version.
Yeah.
DDPs don't annoy me. The one that annoys me the most is if you watch, and I know... Yeah, I know Dwayne ain't gonna do it. But if you watch like 99, 2000 episodes of Nitro or pay-per-views, like the Cats is the worst. Because the Cats. The
James Brown.
Yeah. Oh, man. I
pay attention.
The generic song that they have for the Cat is terrible. Like, sometimes I put the TV on mute. Sting and Kevin Nash held the tag team titles for a whole month before they lost them to Scott Hall and the Giant on an episode of Nitro.
So Chris got dumped real quick.
Yep. I mean, when Scott Hall comes back, I mean, who you gonna choose?
Hey, yo.
You know what I mean? The tag team titles was just going through some funky shit in this time period. Scott Hall and the Giant held them for a little over 3 months. And then Rick Steiner, bear with me because I feel like I'm reading this wrong, but I'm not. Rick Steiner and Buff Bagwell beat the Giant and Scott Steiner, who subbed in for Scott Hall. But Bagwell turned on Rick Steiner, and then Rick Steiner picked Kenny Chaos to be his new tag team championship partner.
I had her just listening to that.
Dude.
But why?
But WrestleMania. There's only WWF was much better at the time.
What?
That was right around the same time that Stone Cold and The Undertaker were tag team champions.
Yeah.
The oddest of odd couples.
But I mean, it's real. Like, you going through all that, but if you flip the channel and see who your champions are, like, which show are you going to pick to watch?
Well, obviously.
And so, and that's another kind of points to something that I found in my research, is that there was consideration from Eric Bischoff to drop the tag team titles entirely because he thinks tag team wrestling is old and boring. So I don't agree with that assessment from Dave. I've heard Eric Bischoff talk plenty of time about what he feels about tag team wrestling, and he has adamant and been consistent in saying that he does not think it's old school or boring. Tag teams was more of a cost issue for him. Like, actually paying to bring teams in and build teams.
Yeah, I think I saw him mention that once. I think it might have been in an interview or something, but yeah, I do remember him saying that. You know, you got to pay for, you know, twice the salaries, twice the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Just the business angle of it.
So it definitely wasn't the actual matches. It was, you know, paying the guys and paying their expenses. They went high on.
But I mean, Eric has been like that throughout his career.
Yeah.
I mean, he just said the other day that that's why he wasn't hurt at all when Triple H left.
Yep.
At CW. Mm-hmm. He was like, I didn't feel like flying that dude in from the Northeast every week.
Yep. And then, you know, I don't blame him. From everything that I've heard him say and everything that I've read, you know, reading the Nitro book and doing other research, like, one of the things that, you know, they told him when they gave him the job was about, you know, watching that bottom line and him trying to, you know, find any way that he could to, you know, cut costs. And if he didn't value tag team wrestling, then, yo, it makes sense. But on the flip side, some of these booking choices could have been different.
So one of the funny things about this match, DDP is the oldest guy in that ring.
Yep.
He is the only one that's still active.
Yes.
And honestly, I would not be surprised if he outlived. Well, he already outlived one of the guys in this match. I wouldn't be surprised if he outlived the other two.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Right. One thing I did love about WCW matches, though,
the ring. There it is. First time you saw a tomato face thing. And it was on a run-in, smacking Big Show's butt. But in the words, well, kind of a spinoff of Daniel Bryan and Kane, all of this, and they are not the tag team champions.
So I would make a joke here about Sting and the face paint, but this is a family show, so I'm going to leave it alone.
Cuss words and shit that we done said, man, make that joke, bro.
So, yeah. Like, he just dove into a woman who
was
on her period.
There you go. I knew you were going there.
All in.
As soon as you said it was a family show, I knew you were going there. I totally agree.
Yep.
Here we have JJ Dillon on the phone.
Oh, you know. And, you know, I'm cool with hearing audio, but J.J. Dillon's voice is not something that I would ever want to hear. J.J. Dillon's voice puts me to sleep.
And then, like, the weather was affecting the phones here. I'm like, oh, this is so much.
And this was another problem with WCW that I had throughout my childhood, teen years. Like, they were routinely in shows in this space right here, like talking, like the match is over, the angle is over, let's take it back to the commentary. Like, I want to see y'all. The shit is over.
I mean, this just gave me vibes of the whole, we're going to hold the title up and they're going to wrestle on the very first episode of, guess what?
This is all this is. This is like, oh, not tag team champions. Magic Great American Bash. Yada, yada, yada. Yo, so I'm just going to say this. Forget what Dwayne says.
What?
Yeah, I said forget what Dwayne says. In this space right here.
Whoa!
In this space. No, listen to me. In this space right here, Tony Schiavone is the only one that's trying. Like, with the facials and everything, man, trying to like go with it, like Mike Tenay is just making a face, and Bobby is just sitting there like, "Is it time for me to go drink?"
And Bobby clearly has his next endeavor on his.
So they did also announce a match for Great American Bash there too. So they announced Hollywood Hogan and Bret Hart and Roddy Piper and Randy Savage. That didn't even main event the card. It was the third to last match on the card. Hogan and Bret Hart with Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake versus Roddy Piper and Randy Savage. Going back to Benny's earlier comment, like, the fuck? The fuck are you doing with Bret Hart, man? Like, Vince McMahon, even though, and we know the show's over, but I wanted to comment on that. Like, even though, you know, everything that went down with the screw job and everything happened, like, Vince had to be sitting on his mountain in Greenwich, like,
nope, Sean.
Yeah. I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
No, sir.
You good?
Ben, you good?
Yep.
All right. You're gonna have to cut that part off. Out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let me bring you back in 3, 2, 1. So about the Great American Bash or?
Yes. So, Great American Bash, Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake as their manager versus Piper and Savage. Like, it wasn't even the main event. Three matches before. And the thing about it is, Hogan and Bret Hart wins. And then Roddy Piper and Randy Savage have a match right after. So if I'm Vince McMahon, look, I'm sitting on my mountain in Greenwich feeling like I got it made. Like, they rock me. But now I'm coming back because they don't know what to do with what they got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, gentlemen. We watched WCW Thunder. We saw Tomato Face Sting for the first time. Any thoughts before we go to our final segment?
Yay, the hot takes.
So I guess Dwayne has no thoughts on WCW Thunder.
I'm going to defer.
Benny, your thoughts, bro?
Man, this is just... I guess the thing I'm trying to think of now is what my Thursday nights had to have been to watch this. I guess because I'm thinking June 98, so we were talking about what? Like the basically the corpse of Fox Thursday night.
Yep.
We're talking about like the last season of New York Undercover, the last season of Living Single, which most people don't acknowledge. Talking about the last season of Martin, which nobody acknowledges. So I guess it was the only game in town.
There you go.
Ew. I mean, for all my family people out there, you know, I guess this is what I did before I, you know, went to CPA on Thursday nights. Man. This was and over the summer too. Oh,
it was bad. It was bad, and you wrapped it up.
It was really brutal. Nicely.
Like it was the only thing. Like there was nothing else. Like there was nothing else to watch. Like I've never seen, unless I don't even know what would have had me come back on the network. So I've been a network subscriber since the day it went live. And as things have been added, nothing has jumped off and like, yo, I got to go see an old episode of WCW Thunder. I only have negative memories about this show. And the only reason why I wanted to bring it to this podcast is to basically confirm the fact of what we all know and look at it from different eyes. So we're all at the point that June 4th, 98 happened. We were looking at it with younger eyes. We were at different places in life, but as adults, you know, and knowing the business a little bit more, we can look at it from a new set of eyes and realize, yo, as a kid, some shit we got right.
Uh-huh. Very true.
All right. So what we're going to do now before we get out of here, we're going to wrap up with our hot takes. So if you've been following along on this podcast, you know, we go back and we look at our fandom from years back, but we wrap up each show by giving one thought about something that's either stuck out in a good way or something that's given us heat in today's industry. So I'm going to bow to our guests first and say, yo, Benny, what's your hot take for the week, man? Is there something that happened in professional wrestling in the last week that really excited you or something that's really bugging you? Speak on it.
So I am going to go back to a tweet that I wrote yesterday. And that tweet said... Okay, I can't find it right now, but I'll just go ahead and say it. Even though it should be right. Okay, so this week we had a guy from the UK who cut a great promo, absolutely wonderful promo, that explained his struggle about how, you know, he was a guy that went through a whole bunch of disappointments and he explained really well why he wants to be champion after going from place to place and not really getting it. The problem is that promo was on Tuesday and not Monday. Marty Scurll was the one who delivered that promo, not Drew McIntyre. I mean, I'm really trying to get into Drew McIntyre just so I can have something positive to look forward to on either Monday or Friday. And I mean, I know it's not coming from Rome. I know it's not coming from. And I mean, I like Brock, but he's already done. So Drew was my hope. And he did not do what I was hoping to do. And then the very next day, Marty Scurll laid down. First thing is, Scurll didn't even have the best promo of the night on Power. That belonged to Eli Drake and James Storm.
Real.
But Scurll did a really good job laying down, okay, for my struggles. I've been everywhere, but I've never, you know, become world champion. That is what I need at some point. Next 7 days to have some sort of investment in this WrestleMania match. Please, Drew, give me that. Give me some reason to care about your obviously pending contract.
That's real. Dwayne?
Yeah, since I had nothing to say about the Thunder show, I gotta give credit to Paul Heyman. Why am I giving credit to Paul Heyman? Because thank God he called an audible and did not let Roman Reigns win the Rumble. Because Roman Reigns and Shayna Baszler were originally supposed to win. And Paul Heyman called an audible. And we have Charlotte and Drew McIntyre. Charlotte Flair and Drew McIntyre. Which I am very happy about. I mean, gotta give Bianca Belair all the credit in the world. Great performance. But you gotta respect the crown. Bow down to the queen. She's the best in the business, whether you like it or not.
Tell them.
I don't care what anybody says.
They don't want to hear.
I love Becky Lynch, but she is running out of steam. I think she is also. I say she's running out of steam because she's been going so hard for the last year and some change, and I think she's getting burnt out. But Charlotte is still the end all. She is the constant. She is the standard bearer of the women's division. And the flag is hers. It's her world, and everybody else is living through it. If you don't like it, I don't care. This is the truth. The truth hurts. Time to sip the serum and accept the fact that Charlotte Flair is the best in the world right now. Period. Point blank. And I was very happy for Drew McIntyre. I've always been a Drew McIntyre fan, especially in his comeback, because the man has worked his ass off. And ever since he left the first time, you learn things as you... You know, you take it for granted the first go around, and he's even said it himself. And I always like those stories where, and Jinder Mahal, a couple years ago was the same way. He left, he put in the work, came back, and you know, I always joke with Sean about don't hinder gender and whatnot, but I respect the grind. And notice something, they both were 3MB band members, went through the Java route, went back in the indies, refined their craft, come back, and now they're getting the push that both of them deserve and deserve now. And I really want the belt back on the show, because I mean, what's the point in having the show without the top title? I mean, I get Brock's contract, but getting old. We've seen it with the Universe title, seeing it again, and it's getting old. So that's my long-winded take. I deserve to say it because I refuse to talk about Thunder except for the Goldberg period, which I actually woke up
on. My man said he deserved a long-winded hot take because he refused to talk about WCW Thunder.
I refuse. The only good part was Goldberg. That was it.
I'm sorry, man. That was so funny. Alright, so before I start my hot take, I said it on the last podcast that if something didn't happen at the Royal Rumble, I would come back and apologize. So here it is. I am so sorry to WWE. I said that you were going to ruin the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania by having Roman Reigns to defeat 29 other men and win the Royal Rumble. You didn't do that. I apologize and kudos to you for not making that decision. But I'm only apologizing for y'all not fucking up the Royal Rumble. Y'all still got a chance to fuck up WrestleMania. Now, don't think that there's still not an opportunity for WWE to put Roman in the main event against Bray Wyatt. As we all saw, a Raw superstar won the Men's Royal Rumble. A Raw superstar won the Women's Royal Rumble. There's still a lot to play with on the SmackDown side. We don't know who's going to face Bray. We don't know who's going to face Sasha. I'm sorry, Bayley. I think I have a good idea for both. I'm pretty sure from what I've seen that the plan is still to have Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt for the Universal title at the Show of Shows. Listen, to have Drew McIntyre win that, it was the right move to have Roman Reigns be the one that eliminated Edge, because you didn't want that crowd heat on Drew right when he was about to win. So I get that. We all remember Royal Rumble 2015 in Philly. I've been warning people who've been commenting on a weekly basis on how people have been reacting to Roman that this might not be what you think it is, that this can possibly be that people are reacting because of who he is in a feud with. Excuse me. The second that people thought that Roman was going to win this Royal Rumble match, didn't we hear the boos? Did we hear the boos, gentlemen? I thought I heard
them. We did.
I didn't hear them. I said them.
That's real. The first booze that I heard was when Roman's music hit when he came out, which was totally different from the reaction that he got when he came out for his match against Baron Corbin.
Because Baron Corbin.
It's reaction because of Baron Corbin, not because we're finally accepting Roman as the top dog. We don't want that. And to take what we've built with The Fiend and finally feature him, because make no mistake about it, if Bray Wyatt faces off against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, that's the match that's closing the night. To have Roman Reigns beat Bray for the title will be a mistake. You will lose anything that you may have built with Roman since he's come back. And you could kill the hottest thing that you have had in years. Bray still hasn't had his WrestleMania moment, his WrestleMania win. And to put him out there at Mania this year and feed him to your big dog would be a mistake. So I'm telling you, that's my hot take today. WWE, I appreciate you for not fucking up Rumble, but I feel like you about to still fuck up WrestleMania. That's it.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right. Well, that's it for us today. Appreciate y'all joining us for our first watch along. As always, Benny, appreciate y'all. You for coming through, sitting in on this with us. Tell the folks how they can find you, and definitely say the whole thing, because I like to hear you talk about Randy Orton.
All right, I can be found at Oigo Las Voces on Twitter. That is OIGOLASVOS. If you are on Rasslecast, you will probably see me often. So, much. And yeah, the reason for that name is because, you know, I made my career. I'm a Randy Orton fan. Randy. It was around the time of Legacy when Eddie DiBiase, Cody Rhodes on a basis, and loved it. So that became the name because I hear voices.
All right, Andy, tell the people where you can follow you, bro.
Well, there's many places, but Libra Icon on Twitter. That's usually where I'm at. For any reason I end up getting gone, ejected out the paint for whatever, follow me at Actually Dwayne. This was definitely a fun episode, even though we talked about Thunder. I definitely want to thank you, Benny, once again for joining us. You know, you got a spot with us at any time. And Sean, I want to ask you two things. One, tell them where they can find you. And then what is next on Heel Heat?
Cool. So you can follow me at Shaolin Shogun MA. The MA is because what? Got my masters, motherfuckers. You will respect it. And next up on Heel Heat, we're going to talk about the topic that Dwayne is looking forward to. We will discuss the finger poke of doom.
Yes!
So join us the next time. He'll hit Shafiq for the finger poke of doom. Before we get out of here, Dwayne kicked us off, but I definitely want to speak from my point of view to end it. I just want to shout out Kobe Bryant before we head out. To know me is to know that I was never really a Kobe Bryant fan. To know me is to know that I don't care if I'm a fan of you. I'm gonna criticize you if you give me space to. So I think my dislike of Kobe was the arrogance that I felt from him when he first came into the league. I didn't like how everybody was crowning him. Like, that's the dude. He was crowning himself. And I was like, dude, I just caught you on TV airballing shit. How are you the greatest? You know what I mean? So it always rubbed me the wrong way. And it didn't, you know, do me no favors or do him any favors that he played for the Lakers, because the Lakers are like
the... Fuck the Lakers.
There you go. It's like Notre Dame with me. And to know me and Dwayne,
fuck Notre Dame everything.
There you go. It's fuck Notre Dame everything, fuck the Lakers everything. I'm a LeBron fan, but fuck him right now because he's playing for the Lakers.
So all day,
you know what I mean? I don't want to bury the cat, but I will say that I can not like you but respect you. I didn't like his personality, but I respected his work ethic. Because what I didn't like about his game, I could see year by year, like, this dude is working. Before I knew anything about Mamba mentality and stories of him in the gym working, you could tell by watching him on the court what he was doing when the lights weren't on. That's when I started to gain a little respect for Kobe. Kobe had his trials and his tribulations. I think because of them, he became a better man. And because of that, I started to not only respect him as a basketball player, but to respect him as a man too. So towards the end of his career, and, you know, I think it kind of turned for me when Kobe went from 8 to 24, that's when the turn kind of came for me. The respect grew. I started to like Kobe. And to dare say that there are probably a lot of things about Kobe Bryant's personality that kind of match who I am, you know. So a lot of things. And I just heard Dwayne say yes. I just want to point that out. Kobe Bryant's death hit me really, really hard. Like, it's up there with Michael Jackson. It's up there with Prince. It's up there with Whitney Houston. Not only people who I admire because of their art, but because of who they were as people. I hated for Gianna and the other seven lives that are lost as well. So we definitely want to forget them. But in everything that I've said against Kobe Bryant in my lifetime, I don't think I've said enough out loud to let people know that, hey, I used to feel this way, but I don't anymore, that I actually like this man, that I actually respect this man. And I hate that he had to die for me to be able to start saying that, if that makes sense. So Cole, you was the one, bro. Like, you was the one, man.
more than anything, I respect you as a man, as a father, as a person who is a champion for women, and especially women in sports. That's probably the biggest thing that got me on your team. So I was looking forward to seeing baby girl in the WNBA one day. She was definitely next. But you know, I plan to build that mama mentality in my students at UNC Charlotte and just live the way Kobe would have left, man. Putting it all on the court and grinding to make things happen. So rest in peace, Kobe. We love you. We're going to miss you. But we'll definitely make sure that your legacy lives on.
That was very well said. Could not say that, share that sentiment myself. If anybody knows me, and the opening was generic, but I was inspired right now to get my thoughts out. And Benny, you're more than welcome to state your thoughts on this too. So, this death has really put a lot of things in perspective, you know, like everything I've been telling myself this whole time that God doesn't make mistakes and everything happens for a reason. And as cliche as it sounds, it is the case. And I know that if anybody knows me, knows that I am a Celtics fan. And seeing Kobe over the years gut my team and wanting the Lakers to be eliminated, you know, like, it wasn't really, it was just more towards the team than the individual. And also towards those cocky-ass Laker fans, too. But they had the right to be cocky. I mean, Kobe got them 5 titles. And I think, as my, much like you, Sean, that healthy disdain from the rivalry because of the arrogance and because it was like blue collar versus Tinseltown, really. I kind of looked at it like that, which is how I view Celtics Lakers rivalry. But man, I grew to admire what the film studies, the attack, you know, like if you have a weakness, attack that weakness, make it a strength. Pressure situations, just doing what you have to do to, you know, achieve greatness. And I definitely think that it was just so sudden because this was basically his routine, you know, doing the same routine that you've always done. And it definitely was shocking. I did not want to believe it. I felt numbness, and I haven't felt any kind of numbness for somebody like that since Prince, you know, and Michael Jackson, and even people close to me, like my grandmothers, you know. That was not a feeling I expected to have, but you know, it shows that I really did care, you know, about the man that he was evolving into. He worked so hard, he was finally living life, and the positivity he would bring to everybody,
just on social media, the values he instilled in his two oldest girls, and I know the two younger ones were getting ready to get those values instilled in them too. Before I continue to ramble and stumble here, I just want to say that I definitely had the feeling and just the ability to see that Gianna was going to be the next superstar in basketball. She was evolving into that. The first video I saw of her doing her dad's moves, I had a smile on my face. I was like, she's going to be the future of the WNBA. And she's going to, you know, she wanted to go to, she had those aspirations. And she said that he did not need a son to carry that legacy and to carry that basketball legacy. And you saw it. You saw it on the court. You saw the pictures. You saw everything, like when he was coaching those girls. I was like, he could be a coach in the WNBA one day, or even in the NBA, whatever he wanted to do, he was going to do it, and he's going to do a damn good job of it. And the Altobelli family, Jeff Altobelli, definitely coached one of my favorite Mets, my favorite baseball team, and one of my players. Favorite players on the team, Jeff McNeil, Coach Aaron Judge, and you see the two of them had one of the best seasons statistically with the batting averages, so that just shows the impact he had across the baseball world, and that can't be discounted either. And the other families that are affected, like everybody, four families were affected by this, and my heart really goes out to them. Vanessa Bryant, Natalia, Bianca, Capri, my heart goes out to you. Definitely my thoughts and prayers. And for people everywhere, it's not just about a Laker, being a Laker fan, being a Kobe fan, and being a fan of the sport. I can tell this has hit so many people, and people are impacted by this. And we love you all, and we are definitely here, and tell people that you love them, man. And I'm definitely appreciative of you guys, and definitely love y'all. Y'all are like brothers to me, and I appreciate that. So on that note, we're going to close this out. It's been a fun evening with you guys, and beautiful speeches by both of y'all. And can't wait for the Finger Poke of Doom episode. But, you know, direct your heat at us. Once again, I'll tell y'all each week, we don't care. But you can still direct it at us. Or you can follow the podcast at Heel Heat Pod. And we will see you next time.